Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Spellcat by Tara Lane, narrated by Kurt Graves. Chapter 1. Witches Burned at the Stake. Killian Barth looked out over the eager students who crowded the lecture hall. Okay, that got their attention. Nearly 100 pairs of young, bright eyes stared at his face. No one is certain how many people, mostly female, were murdered during the 3+ centuries of the witch trials that we'll be covering in this course.
Jeez.
The soft voice came from somewhere near the front. Jeez, indeed. Sadly, they were all murdered in the name of God. The girl shuddered. Good for her. This might be one of the most popular classes at the university, but all his students had different reasons for being here. Some were serious historians. Others were looking for titillation or an easy A. Then there were the girls who wanted to marry him, or at least fuck him. What had the girl said? Jeez. Marriage was a particularly sore subject at the moment. Okay, concentrate. He flipped his long hair over his shoulder and got a giggle from a couple of the girls. Professor Killian Barth, sex symbol. What a joke. He input a command on his laptop, and the projector began to flash a series of images onto the big wall screen behind him. While churches have been trying to cover up the actual numbers for centuries, moderate estimates say 100,000 individuals were killed in the time between the 1400s and 1700s. Women's groups and modern-day witch covens maintain the number is far higher. A male voice called out from somewhere in the crowd, "Why would anyone believe someone who claimed they were a witch?" Killian turned slowly. The kids shifted in their seats. He tried not to smile. The speaker hadn't gotten the unwritten memo. "Will the person who spoke stand, please?" A tall, handsome boy with dark brown hair stood slowly. He didn't look anxious to be embarrassed or thrown out of the class. Good. It gave Killian the chance to do his required speech early. "Mr.—" The boy shrugged. "Jenks? Jimmy Jenks?" "Yes, Mr. Jenks. I want you and the entire class to know that I welcome all sincere questions relating to the subject of witchcraft, the history of the witch trials, or related issues. But note that I said sincere. I do not teach this class as a joke or to give any of you an easy A. If you've done your homework, you should already know that this class is anything but easy, and that I expect you to take the death of somewhere between thousands and millions of people very seriously indeed, especially since it impacted the future of the entire Western world." He smiled slightly. No sense in being too hard on the kid. "Now, Mr. Jenks, would you like to rephrase your question?"
"Yes, sir. Why would modern-day people still believe in witches? Is there any reason to think such people aren't crazy?"
Killian smiled. The front row sighed again. "Ah, that is the question. Well done, Mr. Jenks." The bell sounded, and students began gathering their papers. "We'll address your question in a future session." As the class filed out, Killian turned his back and packed his briefcase. Normally, he'd linger and encourage their questions, but his impending dinner with his mother to discuss her marriage agenda was driving him crazy. Soon he'd meet Lavender Karonoff, his mother's choice. No, everyone's choice, for his bride. Everyone's choice but his. He sighed. Power was no substitute for love, no matter what anybody said. And he ought to know. He needed to get home and prepare.
"I meant no disrespect, sir."
Killian turned to see Jimmy Jenks standing at the foot of the dais. "None taken."
"I'm really looking forward to this class."
Killian looked at the boy's open face and felt his energy. Yes, he was the type. Probably having strange psychic or out-of-body experiences he couldn't explain that scared him witless. Many people did. No wonder the young man seemed spooked. I hope the class is very worthwhile for you, Mr. Jenks.
Thanks, Professor.
The boy hurried to catch up with his friends. I had to give him points for being willing to address the terrifying teacher. Killian's presence could be formidable to someone with psychic sensitivity like this kid. Okay, home. He packed his laptop into the briefcase, then gathered the fall of hair from his lower back and wrapped it into a queue at his neck. A clip from his jacket pocket held the hair in place. He snatched up his motorcycle helmet from the chair and started toward the door. Halfway across the room, he stopped. Who's that? Holy fucking gorgeous, as his students would say. Standing in the doorway was the most breathtaking creature he'd ever seen. Tall, probably a couple inches over 6 feet, and slim, with longish, unkempt brown hair and bright eyes that gazed out from behind dark-framed glasses. Jeans and a long-sleeved shirt. Professor style, for sure. Killian reached out with his feelings. Smart. Almost scary smart. And viscerally passionate. His favorites. Well, they would have been his favorites if he'd been allowed to have such a thing. He swallowed so hard the guy probably heard it from several feet away. Damn. Why can't I learn to be cool? The man's shaggy head cocked. Sorry to bother you, but I'm new here. Can you tell me how to get to the physics building? Physics. Not my best subject. But right now he needed mechanics to keep his cock from rising. This man seemed to radiate heat, even from several feet away, and it lit a fire in places Killian hardly recognized. Standing there with a rapidly rising hard-on came nowhere near cool. I believe it's directly across the street from here. The guy flashed dimples at Killian. Damn, you're not the first to say that. I'm not usually so bad at directions. Can you tell me which street? I've already been across a couple of streets. The side street. Templeton. Oh. The stranger produced a wide smile. Wouldn't you know, I choose every street but that one. He paused as if he was searching for a new topic. Quite a group I saw leaving here. What's your subject? Witchcraft. The laugh burst out explosively. You're joking. Gorgeous, but rude. Not even slightly. I teach the history of witchcraft, among other things. Sorry. Guess that was impolite. Yes, I guess it was. The guy cocked his head and peered at Killian over the tops of the black rims. There was a lot of mischief in that handsome face. Since I'm on a roll with being insulting, I think I'll go all the way. I hope you won't think I'm a stalker, but I stood here and watched while your class filed out. You're about the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. Is there the slightest chance you're single? And gay? He ducked and held up his hands as if to deflect a blow. But he never stopped smiling. Killian arched an eyebrow. A lot of people assumed he was gay because of his long hair and pretty face, but he never confirmed or denied. Who wants to know? The paragon thrust out a slim hand. Blaine Janot, new professor of quantum physics. He grinned wickedly. Gay professor of quantum physics. Killian took that hand and got a flash of heat straight to his balls, like lightning streaked through the window into his jeans. Extraordinary. He pulled his hand back. Maybe the lightning loosened his tongue. Killian Barth, professor of history. Gay, professor of history. He gazed into those eyes, deep green, like ancient Chinese jade. A carved mouth. Just the type he imagined wrapped around his cock in his daydreams. But with one big difference. Killian sighed so deeply it felt like his heart cracked. Yes, this man was gorgeous. Yes, Killian was gay. In truth, he was dying for a relationship with a partner who both attracted him and fulfilled him, and if he'd ever been allowed to discover the type of partner he wanted, he knew Blaine Janot would have fit every parameter. Every parameter but one. He tucked the helmet under his arm. Good to meet you, Blaine. He walked past the man and out into the sunshine toward his motorcycle. He couldn't stay. He couldn't find out what he'd been missing. Because no matter how perfect this man might be, Killian Barth didn't do physics professors. In fact, he didn't do humans. Sex with humans stole his energy and depleted his community. And that wasn't allowed. Because he was the most powerful male witch in 10 generations, and he was expected to reproduce. Jimmy stopped just inside the coffee shop door. His skin buzzed like somebody had put a little vibrator under it. Felt weird, but it happened more and more. Crap, what's wrong with me? Get a grip. He looked around and spied his 3 friends in a back booth. This wasn't his favorite coffee place. There was another one a few blocks from here where he always felt more at home, but his friends picked this one 4 out of 5 times. They said the other one was lame and reeked of professor smell. He walked over to the booth, tossed his backpack into the pile with his friends, and pushed onto the bench seat beside Sammy. Hey, bro. Sammy adjusted his skinny ass on the seat, bumped Jimmy's fist, and returned to a lively discussion of the new babe who had occupied a prominent front row seat in witchcraft today. Were these idiots really arguing over whether the girl was, indeed, a double D or merely a single? Time for a new subject. That Professor Barth's totally intense, isn't he? Alvish looked annoyed. He had no interest of any kind beyond girls. I think he's weird. Chen hit the side of Alvish's head, just missing the big ear that had turned his name from Alvin to Alvish.
You think everybody minus a rack the size of Kansas is weird?
He looked at Jimmy.
Yeah, he's intense, but kind of interesting, don't you think? Sure seems to know his stuff.
Alvish shrugged. Anybody who'd specialize in teaching witchcraft is weird. I rest my case.
Jimmy frowned. Sometimes the dude bugged him. You're taking the course? Isn't that weird?
Hell no. I take it to beg the babes in the front row when they find out their beloved, beautiful, weirdo teacher is gay as a bag of jelly beans.
Who the fuck told you that?
Nobody had to. Give me a break. Waist-length hair, pretty as a damned picture, not married.
How do you know that, Elvish?
No ring.
Chen shrugged. My father doesn't wear a wedding ring, but I gotta confess, I think the guy probably is gay.
Jimmy poured some iced tea from a pitcher on the table.
You're just jealous of the fact that all the gorgeous women pass out over him.
Chen grinned.
Not all of us can be as lucky with the ladies as you, Jenks.
Alvish thrust out his slightly receding chin. How do we even know Jenks' so-called girlfriend exists, huh? None of us has ever seen her, except from a distance. Maybe that chick was just his cousin or somebody.
Sammy reached over and smacked Alvish's head hard this time. Out of the group, those two had the rockiest relationship.
Because Jimmy doesn't lie. That's why, asshole.
Just saying.
Jimmy shrugged. He didn't really want to talk about it.
Cut it out, you two. My girlfriend's real. He sighed and sipped some more tea. But none of you may ever get to see her.
Alvish brayed. See? Told ya.
Sammy turned a shoulder to the big-eared antagonist and looked at Jimmy.
How come, bro?
Because her father hates my bony ass. He doesn't want her seeing me at all. His chest hurt just saying it. Jesus, half the crappy time he wanted to die, and the other half he could kill somebody.
But you said you thought she was the one.
That twisted the knife.
Yeah. Alvish leaned forward on the table. So which is it? Is she the one or not? As if there's ever just one anyway. Try not to hit him. Yes, asshole, she is the one. And I would do anything and be anything to have her. And I may have to give up everything in my life to do it, but I intend to make her mine no matter what her friggin' father says. Would you like to find some other ways to be totally obnoxious, or is that absolutely clear? Alvish stared at him with huge and surprisingly beautiful brown eyes. Crystal. Killian leaned against the wall of the shower stall. He loved his vintage bathroom with its subway tile floor and pedestal sink. The shower was the one modern indulgence in the room. All four shower heads focused on his overheated body. He needed to get dressed for his dinner with his mother, but higher priorities called. That lightning still sizzled through him, and it had to be released, or at best he'd go nuts. At worst, well, better to release it. He'd positioned his body so that one of the heads pounded its spray directly on his hard cock. Gods, feels good. Some master witch he was. Couldn't even find a good partner to do this for him. He leaned his head against the cool tiles of the wall and closed his eyes. A partner. Someone to love and to wipe out his loneliness. A partner he could appreciate and respect and have sex with. Oh yes, regular sex would be wonderful. In a big bed with crisp white sheets and a breeze blowing in from a window. He'd snuggle into his partner's arms and look up into his green eyes. Killian flexed his fingers. He could feel that shaggy brown hair. Damn. His eyelids flipped open. Stop. Enough with the human. Focus on the business at hand. He grinned. Exactly in hand. A bit of lube in the hand, please. Heat filled his forehead, and the slick fluid appeared in his hand from what he thought of as the great lube bottle in the sky. He reached down and started stroking. The foreskin was sensitive, and he loved the feeling of pulling it back as he pumped. Slow, and one hand over the other, the motion he liked best. With just a thought, he made the water spray begin a pulsing rhythm. He opened his hands at the top of the upward stroke to let the water pulse onto the sensitive head. Oh, powers, he needed to come. It was going to come. Soon. Yes, very soon. His hips jerked, and his hands flew faster and faster as he felt the juice pulsing in his balls. Come on, come on. He needed this. If he couldn't find a good man, at least he could get himself off. Come on, damn it! Why couldn't he come? He squeezed his eyes shut. A good fantasy, that's what he needed. Something that really did it for him. Okay, there. He smiled, then yelled as hot semen began to pulse out of his cock as hard as the shower spray beat down. Jet after jet of cum hit the shower wall. He should control himself, but he couldn't. His body shook, and heat flowed through every cell. He leaned against the wall again, gasping for breath. Gods, what was wrong with him? In the vast, wide world of witchery, the only thing that did it for him was a clear image of the human physics professor sucking his cock. Chapter 2
Yes, Nicholas, I understand the significance precisely. Evangeline Barth straightened her pearls and waved away the cook who had been consulting on dinner. Nicholas got on her last nerve, as the young people like to say, but he was powerful. Witches whispered that he had resources far beyond those he showed on the surface, and he was the new head of the council. That meant she'd be directly related to the Councilmaster through the marriage of her son, the Witchmaster, to Nicholas's daughter, the likely successor to Evangeline's own position as Witch Mistress, the most powerful female witch in the community.
Your son's a strange one, Evangeline. His job in the human community his insistence upon living like some kind of pauper, to say nothing of his sexual proclivities. It's unnatural.
Heat flashed in her cheeks. How dare he? Be that as it may, he is massively powerful.
Power is of little use to us if he won't use it and we can't control it.
She smiled. That's the nature of power now, isn't it?
Do not sound so self-satisfied with your creation, Evangeline. You have much to lose.
I'll keep that in mind. Her teeth hurt from clenching them. So is Lavender completely on board with this plan? The slightest pause on his end gave her a rush of satisfaction. He cleared his throat.
She will do as I say.
So, in other words, she isn't cooperative.
She will do as I say.
Evangeline smiled and adjusted her pearls an inch to the left. Yes, Nicholas. I'm sure she will. Killian, my darling, I know I don't need to remind you of the fact that, as the most powerful male witch and one of the few who have ever met or exceeded the capabilities of the females—
She patted her hair.
You have responsibilities to our race and our craft.
Yes, Mommy dearest. He watched his mother lean back in a pure white dining chair. The upholstery was so pristine that only a witch who knew she could clean it with the flick of her fingers would dare sit drinking red wine on it. Her beautiful, smooth forehead wrinkled ever so slightly.
You know I do not enjoy sarcasm.
He leaned on the large mahogany table. All this space for just the two of them. He sighed and wiped a hand over his neck. But it's okay with you that I have to sacrifice whatever chance I have at happiness for the benefit of future generations. She frowned, but covered his hand with her cool one.
Oh, darling, you're, for all intents and purposes, a king among our kind, and kings bear responsibilities.
He snorted and pulled his hand away. The unruly mass of supernaturals we affectionately call witchery no more recognize me as a king than— He pointed at the tea cart. That teapot can fly. Without assistance from you or me, that is. They like me okay, yes, but king? Nonsense. Her dark blue eyes narrowed.
Ah, but they could come to see you as such when you assure more power for our kind against the increasing threat of the human hordes.
What the hell was she up to? What increasing threat? She leaned back.
Even you must see that the rise of religious fanaticism all over the world could easily bring us back to tribunals and witch burnings.
I see no such thing. But even if it did come to that, the humans would just murder one another as they did in the earlier centuries. They hardly ever caught a real witch, although they certainly blundered into wiping out a few of us. She frowned.
Well, I suppose you'd know, though why you insist on that idiotic teaching profession I'll never understand.
He sighed. We've covered this a few thousand times.
Yes, yes. Empathy, the masses, the great unwashed.
She rose grandly.
Let's take our coffee in the living room, shall we?
Killian followed her from the cozy table for 16 through the grand arch into the family living room, which was far smaller than the formal living room. A few hundred people could hang out in there. Witches were wealthy as a race, and the Barths, as the most powerful, were also among the richest. His mother gestured to the flowered love seat. Love. Not something this house boasted a lot of. He stalked to the window and stared at the garden. His back didn't stop her talking.
On Saturday, we'll have an early gathering of the select few here, and then welcome the community in the formal living room at 7 for cocktails and dinner. And, of course, the announcement of your betrothal.
Gods, just the word made his stomach turn. He swallowed. Fight, scream, gnash teeth. Didn't matter. She had him by the short and curlies. The horrifying truth didn't change. Something was killing his race. Witch power lessened with every generation, until some witches might as well have been human. Apparently, though it made him want to vomit, he was the only one who could stop it. He turned toward her. His mother packed huge witch power in a tiny frame, barely over 5 feet. His father must have been tall, since Killian topped Evangeline by a full foot. She smiled sweetly.
"You will help with the party, won't you, darling?"
He collapsed into one of the reasonably forgiving chairs. Gods forbid anyone should get too comfortable. "I'll help."
"And you'll make me proud of you."
This had only one meaning. "You mean by being civil to Lavender Karonov, thereby not pissing off her powerful father and his coven?" She sat opposite him.
"I mean by being charming to Lavender and her very powerful family, or she will likely turn you into a mouse."
He laughed. "You really think she's that good, huh?"
"Reported by all my sources to be the most powerful female witch of the younger generation."
He slowly crossed his legs. Throwing his power around was really contrary to his nature, but sometimes... "That doesn't mean she's more powerful than I am." He gazed at his mother over his steepled fingers. "You aren't." She shot him a killing glance.
"And that's precisely why a union between you is so important. Your offspring will engender a new level of power in future witchery, undoing the impact of the witch-human unions and assuring the continuation of our kind over many more centuries."
It sounded like catechism. "And the fact that no woman of any kind has ever given me a boner doesn't interfere with your plans at all?" She half rose from her seat.
"Killian Barth, do not be vulgar."
He leaned forward as she resettled. "Mother, as you have known since I was 7, I'm gay. Women do not excite me."
"What does that have to do with anything?"
By the time he stopped laughing, he had to brush tears from the ends of his hair. "Sorry, honestly, I am. Hell, I wish I could just donate my sperm like humans do."
"You know that won't work for witch males, and there's no need to discuss such things in polite company."
He nodded. Witch sperm died outside the magic body, and that was just fact. Shit. "Yes, mother." She shook her head.
"Gods, you remind me of your father."
Not that again. She always tossed that at him when she was least pleased with him. Strange. His father's sperm had produced this so-called great witch, but in the time she talked about the man, it was always with disdain. She sat on the edge of her seat, arms crossed.
"Do you, or do you not, want your betrothal gift?"
If refusing the present would get him out of the marriage, he'd do it in a red-hot second. In fact, he didn't want any gift from her these days. But she was his mother, and the only creature he could claim cared about him one iota. Gods, that made him sad. "Of course I want the gift. I've been looking forward to it."
"Very well."
She rose, all queenly, and left the room. Killian went over to the side table where the maid had laid out the coffee and refilled his cup, adding cream and a dash of cinnamon. He preferred tea, but his mother always served coffee. He sat on the love seat with his coffee and sipped.
Many of his community, most, in fact, knew his sexual preferences, but they didn't give a fuck.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?